Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome you back to the airwaves of Radio Islam International this Sunday morning, 11:11. That's the exact time right now. Now, as our listeners are well aware, on a Sunday morning between the hours of 11 and 12, we have panel discussions. So various panelists come on, and there is a very vast amount of topics, very diverse topics that are discussed on this panel program. And alhamdulillah, there is some very, very, very informative discussions that does take place. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward one and all that gets involved in these programs. And today, alhamdulillah, we have two interesting guests that we will be speaking to. Now, you know, it's that time of the year. It is October. And starting from tomorrow, commencing from tomorrow, it will then be the final week of October. The following Monday will inshallah be the 1st of November. That means that it is time for exams. Yes, school exams, madrasa exams. It's very important that as parents, if there are any learners that are out there actually listening to us this morning, then for them as well, it's very important that we use our time very, very, very constructively. And as parents, it is important that we ensure that our children do prepare adequately, sufficiently, thoroughly for the exams. We as parents should not have the attitude that, you know, it's exam, take it. Try, see what you can do, if you can, if you don't. Also, it's okay. We shouldn't, you know, prior to the exam, give them that attitude. Yes, after the exam, then we tell them, look, you tried your best. Now the results is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it is important that we do see to it that our children do prepare adequately for the exams. Now, one is the exams for the children, as we said, school as well as madrasa. But the very important exam that takes place now, and that will be commencing within this coming week, is the matric exams. I'm not too sure, but I think from Wednesday could be the first paper for the matrics, and therefore this hour we're going to be discussing particularly the matrics exams. Now, what we will be doing during this hour is, first, we will be speaking to an educator as well as a parent of a matriculant, and we'll have a discussion with her about how do children prepare for the exams. And then following that discussion, we're going to have a last year matriculant, and she's going to tell us all about the processes that she went through last year, and how taxing it was, how difficult it was, or probably even maybe how easy it was. So the first part of the discussion, we're speaking to educator as well as parent of a learner, and that is Sister Asima Muhammad. We know that the end of the year is approaching, which means that the exam periods is in the horizon as well. So parents and caregivers want to ensure that the children in their care succeed at these exams. This can be hampered by undue stress and anxiety. Therefore, we are speaking to Sister Asima Muhammad to take us through this discussion. Sister Asima, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam.
Wa alaikum salam and jazakallah for having me on.
It's the pleasure is all ours. Jazakallah for availing your time and speaking to us this morning. Now, maybe to start off the discussion, Sister Sima, maybe you can take us through the journey of, you know, what is it to be a parent of a matriculant? You know, is it more stressful than normal?
Gee, I haven't experienced such stress and anxiety in the previous years with my daughter in comparison to this year. This matric stress can be very overwhelming. Speaking as an educator and a mother of a matriculant, I have observed that my daughter and her peers, without a doubt, has heightened levels of uncertainty, anxiety, stress, depression. For the matric students, I would say, of 2021, the matric obstacle became even more complicated due to the pandemic and its effects. You know, it's very difficult for a parent. One may not understand the stress these learners are going through. Mm-hmm. I think the point leading to this is that if they do not get the required pass mark of failing, can lead to public humiliation. Mm. For matrics, the focus of pass rates, obtaining university exemption, and the ability to attend tertiary education may add to the lethal mix. Therefore, I say many matrics, including my daughter, had to actually get medical help, you know, for the stress, anxiety, so that they can cope. Students, what I see that's happening, students set high goals for themselves or used to be a perfectionist, becomes very disappointed and depressed if they do not reach the expected level of performance. So coming to your question, yes, matrics suffer anxiety and stress more than normal.
Okay. Now, very important, the matriculants, as you say, the stress that they're going through, the difficulties that they're going through, the challenges that they had, specifically this year, well, last year as well, but then this year was the full year of COVID. Last year, there were 1 or 2 months that was the normal. January, February was still okay. This year, it was a full year of COVID. So, you know, the classes were different, attending classes were different, tuition was different. And as you then therefore say that, you know, they have a lot of stress that is currently that they're going through and a lot of anxiety that they're going through. What role would you say does the parent have to play in helping, in assisting this child to reach their full potential?
Children cannot achieve their full potential unless their parents are actively involved in their education. So I speak as an educator and a parent. I have observed from all these years that my own students and my child, that when there's parental involvement, it increases students' achievement. I also believe it's significant in participating in the education of a child's life. I've developed the habit of sitting with my child personally and listening to them and following up closely with their education by working closely with their educators. I normally call the educators, you know, now and then, asking where does my child, you know, what is my child suffering? How can I help my child? I also have instilled in them the importance of education from an early age, which helps them with self-development and independence. The method that I use with my child is dialogue and persuasion. I guide them by means of advice. I believe parents are important influencers with the ability and responsibility of guiding their child on the right path.
Yeah, most certainly. The parent plays a very, 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 very interesting and a very, very, very important role as well in order to guide the child, to help the child, to assist the child. And as you say there very correctly, you know, that the child, it will be very difficult for the child to reach their full potential if it is not for the guidance of the parents. And that is why that is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah has made it. Obviously, we know in certain times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite knowledge knows best why in certain cases Allah takes one parent away. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even takes two parents away. And if you look at the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously had the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did that. But in a normal situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that the parents become guiding stars and guiding tools for those children to take them through their life. And part of their life is very important, the education that they receive and the education that they achieve. It's very important that the parents play an active role in that. Now, having spoken about that and having discussed that, the importance the parents play, I think another very important point is to find the right balance, because as a parent, you want to encourage your child as much as possible that they must go out there, they must achieve their full potential, they must do their best. But then on the other hand, you don't want to put unnecessary and unrealistic expectations on the child either, right?
Yeah, one thing that I've noticed, that there's a lack of communication, and that is very important as a parent. To encourage and support your child, you need to communicate with them. These are some of the points that can be communicated with the child. Speak to them about it. The first one is acknowledge their failure rather than fear them. Failure at times help one to learn and can be part of success. Take pride in their achievements and build on their weak points. That's the second point. The third point is always believe in themselves, realizing no one is perfect and there are always room for improvement. The fourth point, realize it is normal to feel down and angry and disappointed when one does not achieve as expected. The fifth point, seeking help is not a weakness. Rather, needing help and not asking for it is one of the biggest mistakes one can make. And that's what I see. They don't really ask for help and they need that help. They need that support. They need to speak if they're not coping. However, at times, the relationships between children and parents may not be at their optimal and thus not conductive to open communication. Support and encourage them to the best you can as a parent.
Okay, so there's some very, very, very beautiful and profound advices that you gave there in order to try and find that right balance. Now, moving on with the discussion, Sister Seema, how would you encourage your child if they had a bad paper, if they had a difficult paper? You know, sometimes the child comes home and says, Mommy or Daddy, today's paper was tough. As a parent, what do you do?
Well, the last thing that one should actually do is put them down. So you provide your child with emotional support in the form of understanding and encouragement. You give them praise for the hard work and effort that they are putting in. Help your child to understand that difficulty is part of life, and we will have papers that do not go well. Help them to see that difficulty can overcome, and they don't feel demotivated by the bumps on the road. Help your child by searching for additional support, material, resources, or past year exam papers, or getting a tutor to assist, specifically if they've done bad in their prelims. This could be a guide to assist with problem areas. Tell them how proud you are of them because they're working so hard. Make them feel loved and understand. You know, they can understand that you love them and you're not going to be disappointed, no matter what the outcome is.
Yeah, I think it's very important, you know. They had one bad paper. That paper might have been a bit difficult, a bit tough. But you show your support, it then encourages them that, you know, for the rest of it, let's still try. You know, there is still something out there. We can still achieve. We still got other papers to write. But they had one bad paper, and you blame them, and you tell them, no, the paper's not difficult. It's just your fault, and you're too lazy, and you're not studying enough. Then they say, you know what, my parents have already written me out from now, from this first paper. Why should I even bother for the next exam? So I think it's very important to keep on motivating them, to keep and encouraging them, and to be that pillar of support and that pillar of strength for them. And I think that is what then leads us to the next question, Sister Seema. What should parents avoid saying or doing to their children, especially in this time of the year?
Just now you spoke about, you know, putting them down. So you have to be very careful with your words because, you can actually break a child if you say the wrong thing. So encourage them instead of threatening them. I've noticed that parents have dreams for their children. And then they tend to stress on these dreams and they put the child under a lot of stress. All of us desire the best outcome for our child. These expectations can have an impact on our emotions and behavior. The parents should put their dreams aside and take things day by day. Parents must control their own anxiety and remain calm. If the parent is calm, then the child will be calm. Mm-hmm. Do not use the word, I expected more from you. This can kill the child. A lot of them do it. I expected more from you. I expected this from you. Avoid screaming and shouting and threatening the child and taking privileges away. For example, if your child is driving your car, you tell your child, oh, you didn't achieve what I wanted you to achieve, so I'm taking your car keys away. If the child does not achieve the expectations of the parents, the child is going to feel down. He needs your support. Mm-hmm. He or she needs your support at this time the most. These are some of the lines one should avoid using. Stop crying. You'll be fine. I've noticed you must let them cry and you know, let them deal with their feelings and their emotions. That's very important. You did well, but you could do better. These words will make them feel like they do not make you proud. You did not do your best. This can break a child if they do not. They did do their best that they could. You are useless and dumb. I've seen this as an educator as well. Look at your friends. They tend to compare. Don't compare your child to others because they're all not the same.
Well, certainly.
This can lead to major anxiety and a feeling of unloved and unwanted, a feeling of rejection. Never compare to other learners. One should avoid at all costs demotivating your child.
SubhanAllah, those are very, very, very important advices that you gave. Sister Seema, maybe one final question is, you know, I think we maybe did touch on it a little bit from the start, but the results, you know, getting the results and worrying about the results. How as parents, obviously, that is definitely going to be on the back and probably in certain cases even in the front of the child's mind. How do we help our children deal with these results?
Again, I say communication is very important. Most importantly, one should talk about their feelings and fears. The most important is to remain calm again. Plan a discussion with your child. Sit down as a family without distractions. Let your child share their thoughts and worries. Help to rephrase complaints and end up with positive feedbacks. It is important that the children and parents work together to set goals. Identify areas to focus on and to track future progress. Learners must also know that matric isn't end of the road. They can apply for remarking, rewrite, or redo matric at a college. So they mustn't feel that there isn't anything they can do thereafter. You know what I mean? So there is ways to fix the mess up. They can, like I said, remarking, rewriting, you know, if you feel you did very bad in your matric year, you can go to a college and redo the matric. So it's not end of the road. It's not end of the road. Most of them should be, most important, they should believe in themselves. They must not let fear and negative thoughts hold them back.
Jazakallah, Sister Seema, it was very, very, very interesting listening to you. I hope the parents out there were listening to this, and there's a very, very important message that they would have got out from there, especially coming from yourself, you know, somebody that comes from the education background, with yourself being an educator. It's very important that we motivate our children. Yes, we have to encourage them in the right direction. We've got to encourage them to reach their full potential. We don't want to become a hindrance to that. But then we can't be too hard on them. We've got to be able to draw the balance between the two. That is what makes for good parenting. Jazakallah so much for speaking to us this morning. You have a good day today, and all the best to your daughter and the rest of the matriculants.
Jazakallah, and I would like to take this opportunity to wish all the matrics the best. May Almighty guide them and help them achieve the best they can. And Jazakallah for having me on the show.
I mean, Jazakallah so much for joining us, and it is good speaking to you. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, so that was Sister Asima Muhammad. As we said, this coming week will be the commencement of the matric final exams, a very important exam for the matriculants. It will commence within this week. And Sister Asima, coming from the education background, being an educator herself, and this year she finds herself as a parent to a matriculant. She was sharing with us and our listeners some advice on parenting a matriculant, what to do, what not to do. We go for a break. When we come back, we will continue with the program. All right, 11:32. We move on to the second interview that we have for this program. So as we said in the commencement of this program, that we're going to have two interviews this morning. The first one, a very interesting interview, was where we spoke to Sister Asima, a parent of a matric learner this year, and she happens to be from the education profession as well. That is a very interesting interview. The parents and the role that they play as far as their children is concerned, and specifically their children that are writing the matric exams. Now moving on, we're speaking to a matriculant herself. This is Nurul Huda Patel. She matriculated last year, and this morning we're going to be speaking to her about the exams. She, you know, for learners, and they get advice from their parents and the educators and the tutors, but very important for them is to get advice from their matriculants. So, you know, and as we know that it has been difficult for the matriculants because of the COVID and the disruption to the education system that it has had. But we're speaking to Nurul Huda, who matriculated last year, which will mean that she also had these challenges of COVID and the disruption to education, etc. She also had to go through some of these difficulties. So she will be able to take us through the discussion, maybe the difficulties that the matriculants went through, maybe some of the easy papers, maybe some tips, etc. We welcome Nurul Huda onto Radio Islam. Nurul Huda, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam International this morning.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Jazakallah so much for availing your time this morning.
It's okay, Amin. It's really nice to be here.
Alhamdulillah. So maybe, you know, you can be refreshing the memories with you. I'm sure it brings back very good, very beautiful, very warm memories of what you were going through last year at this time, being a matriculant last year, graduating from your matric class last year. Maybe you can tell us, what is the feeling of a student that is about to start their final exams? What feelings did you go through?
It's definitely not a positive feeling. You feel anxious and you are stressed most of the time. Sometimes you feel like you're not 100% prepared, even if you are. So you feel under pressure because, you know, you think if you don't do too well, you might not get into the university of your choice or your chosen career path. But of course, this is all normal. This feeling of tension and worry does come from the idea of writing your matric finals. Also, when you're in matric, everything is about school. So throughout the year, your whole focus is on finals and being able to get those distinctions. And finally, now that big moment arrives. So final exam is a very stressful period for a student. You can feel bombarded by stressful thoughts that trigger anxiety, and that is the last thing that you want to do to yourself. So you should try and utilize your stress in a helpful way. You can take your stress and allow it to challenge you and, you know, stimulate you to work harder. And Moderate stress is also said to improve your memory and attention span, and it helps you become more productive. But the good thing about this whole final situation is that the stress that you feel right now, it doesn't feel the same throughout the exam period. The stress level does eventually come down, because as soon as you start writing finals, the focus shifts from thinking about finals to actually focusing more on studying. Even for me personally, last year, I think the most difficult thing for me in matric was the period just before I started writing, because my whole focus was literally on the fact that I'm about to start. And I was like, oh, it's going to start in a few weeks or a few days or a few hours even. But like once I got used to it, once finals actually started, I saw my exam venue. I was more familiar with my seating plans. I was familiar with the atmosphere in the morning when the students were going over the work the last time. So the more familiar I became, the more comfortable I got. And I think that really helped me. And the stress level did come down at some point.
Okay, Jazakallah for that. I think the matriculants will be very, very, very pleased to know that, as you say there very beautifully, that stress level is not going to stay the same throughout. It's obviously, before you start anything, before you do anything for the first time, it's going to be very, very stressful, and there's going to be lots of thoughts that are running through your heads. You know, the questions and the worries and the concerns of you doing well, and are you going to manage, and what is it going to be like, and is your results going to be sufficient and good enough to get you into whatever career path you want to take, etc. But as you say there, you know, once you actually get into that first paper and you start writing those exams, those nerves start calming down and the stress levels start dropping. I think that will be a great amount of encouragement for the matriculants, and Jazakallah so much for sharing this with them. It will definitely be very, very, very welcome for them to know that, you know, the stress levels that we're feeling right now, it's not going to be for the next 2 months like that. It might just be until you write your first paper. Obviously, everybody is different, you know. Some people stress much more than others. Others will be so... others can be writing in a matric exam and they still might not stress at all. But nonetheless, is there anything that you feel really helped during that period? You know, something someone said, or maybe something that somebody did that actually gave you encouragement while you were doing your preps for the exams and then writing the exams?
Whenever I felt a bit too stressed out, burnt out or overwhelmed, I used to give myself a little break, maybe talk to my loved ones, my friends and family, whoever. And when they used to give me time and attention and talk to me about stuff rather than school, or, you know, they used to talk to me, distract me for a while, it used to help me a lot. I used to feel good because it used to remind me that I have a life apart from school, that I'm a human being, and I'm allowed to enjoy myself during exams too, as long as I'm keeping a healthy balance. Mm-hmm. But what really motivated me was when I set goals for myself on a daily basis. And whenever I reached those goals, you know, I used to like spoil myself a little bit, maybe with a small treat like a chocolate, or giving myself extra time to relax and do other things that are not related to school or studying. Mm-hmm. So I used to get a decent amount of time for my hobbies and interests. And that made me feel alive. Like, I didn't feel trapped in the cycle where I'm constantly just studying and studying and studying to a point where I feel burnt out. And all this also improved the quality of how I used to study. So getting enough sleep, taking time out for myself, studying, talking to my loved ones, does really help. And all this can be done successfully. And the key to the success is time management. And this is something what my teachers told me. And they told me that if I don't manage my time effectively, it will disrupt my studying schedule. So I had to set goals for myself, and it was important to set realistic goals, something I knew I could do. And when you do that, you will realize that time actually does work in your favor. But one of the golden advice that I received from an older person was to plan my day around prayers, around Salah. Mm-hmm. I cannot expect to make an effort and be successful if I'm not praying, because effort goes hand in hand. You need to pray, you need to talk to God, you need to talk to Allah and ask Him to make it easy for you, to help you. You need to believe in yourself and you need to believe in your prayers, and inshallah, everything will go well. There's something else that I read a few days ago also, it made me think. And it said that motivation is a feeling, and feelings change every single day. We humans, we don't feel the same every single day. So if you're going to sit back and wait for the motivation to kick in, you're actually shooting yourself in the foot. Sometimes you will get days where you don't feel motivated at all. You are super demotivated. You don't want to study. You don't want to do anything. But that is the time where you actually have to push yourself. That is where the GL challenge lies. You just have to push yourself, remind yourself how far you have come. You have to remind yourself of the academic achievements that you achieved throughout your school life. And I think that really helps. That itself does motivate you a little bit. But even if it doesn't, you just have to learn how to push yourself through this. And once you do that, inshallah, everything does become a whole lot easier.
Okay, Jazakallah so much. That's, you are really giving the matriculants a lot of encouragement. There's so much that they could have heard this morning, and there's so much encouragement that they can take away from this discussion. You know, the fact that you spoke earlier on that the stress is going to decrease, and the fact that, you know, they need to remain motivated. It does get challenging at times. It does get a bit daunting at times. The matriculant exams is not just 1 week and then it's done. It goes on for over a month, and, you know, if you're stressing to that level for a month, it could really finish you. So you need to remain motivated. You need to encourage yourself. You need to pick yourself up. You might have some moments where you don't really even feel like studying. You get so tired of those books and those textbooks and the tuition and everything else that goes with it. But you just need to remain motivated. You need to understand what your goals are and then work towards that. And as you also spoke very beautifully about the importance of turning to Allah, you know, in those silent moments, turning to Allah, asking Allah. Because yes, definitely your studying and you know, that can only go to a certain level, and that's going to take you to a certain level. But at the end, we have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakallah so much for sharing that with us and with our listeners. How can family members help? I think that's something very important. Every matriculant lives with their family. There's siblings around them. There's parents around them. Is there anything as far as the parents and the family around them? Is there anything that they should do, shouldn't do, or what worked for you?
I think it's important for family members to be familiar with your study schedule. Mm-hmm. So they know when it might be a good time to have to stop by and have a little chat with you, or when it's not. They should also ensure that there's peace and silence in the house. Also, the students are studying, you need to make sure that there aren't many visitors around, because it does sort of become a distraction for them. And the students, they are distracted by studying itself also. So sometimes they don't pay much attention to the food intake. So they might not be eating enough, or they're not eating at all. Or sometimes they may even be stress eating. I used to stress eat a lot. So your family has to step in and make sure that you have a healthy eating habit. They could bring you snacks, you know, they can make sure you're eating and that you're eating right. Another important thing is it's important to talk about how the previous paper went with them, but of course not too much. It is good to talk things out, especially, you know, if you feel like an exam didn't go well. But of course, there's no point dwelling on it. They should just encourage you, you know, to let it all out, but also accept that the exam is over now, and there's nothing that you can do about it, and just encourage you and help you focus on to the next one. But what they shouldn't do is constantly blame you for the exam not going well, or telling you that you should have done better, or you should have studied more. If you have been studying or trying your best, then saying such stuff will actually demotivate the students. Another thing they should do is offer to be the study partner. So some students work well alone when it comes to study, and some can work differently. But you could offer to do some Q&A style study with them. It might help them to study and remember things a lot better. Also, sometimes when things don't go according to plan, like maybe an exam didn't go well, or maybe you didn't reach a certain goal during the day, your family members could step in, you know, help you and help you stay calm. They could remind you to take a deep breath. And if the student is feeling too anxious before an exam also, they could step in again and recommend some breathing exercises that could help manage the stress. Mm-hmm. But overall, it's important for the family to understand how important and stressful matric exams can be, so they can give in the full support, love, and attention. And the tiny gestures do make a huge difference. It does motivate the students. It keeps them going. So just check up on them constantly and just make sure things are going well with them.
Jazakallah so much. There's a lot that the parents and the family can do, as you pointed out very aptly. There's a lot that the parents can do, you know, from seeing to their eating habits and just making sure that they remaining motivated, to give them that encouragement from time to time, because as we spoke earlier on, you know, they sometimes get fatigued and they get drained out because the exam period can sometimes be a bit lengthy for them. So to just keep on encouraging them, that's the best that the family members can do. Give them the space, give them the time, understand the importance of this exam that they're going through, not too much pressure on them, just encouragement, and let them be and let them enjoy the exam, not just write it and get through it, but as family members and as parents, you can help your child to enjoy their exams. Sister Nurul Huda, maybe one final question is, what would be your advice to the matric students of 2021? What would you tell them?
So the first thing I'd recommend is to try and stay fit and active. If you can, and if you have time, try and go to the gym or go for a swim or even play soccer outside with your friends or family. Or if not that, then maybe you can just walk out in your room for at least 20-30 minutes. It really, really helps, because all that brain chemicals associated with those happy feelings, they are activated. So you feel more confident, you feel more capable, and you feel less anxious and stressed. So it basically clears your head. It also helps with a sharper memory and thinking. So the same endorphins that make you feel better also help you concentrate and feel mentally prepared for literally any exam task. And this is important because this also affects the quality of how you study and the amount of information you are able to absorb in. The second tip I'd give is try to get enough sleep. Sleeping is super, super important, and I cannot emphasize this enough. You need to give time to your brain to just sit and relax. And sleep deprivation leaves your brain exhausted, so it cannot perform duties as well. So you find it more difficult to concentrate or learn new things. You are unable to process what you learn during the day, and you may have trouble remembering it in the future as well. So there's no point staying up all night, grabbing up all that workload for the last minute, because it is guaranteed that you cannot process and absorb all that information in 100%. Another thing which I have previously mentioned is to prepare a realistic study schedule. So make a timetable that you know you will follow when you look at it, and not a timetable when you look at it, you will feel more stressed or overwhelmed by the amount of work that you have to get done, because that will do nothing but demotivate you. So it is very important to make sure you set a realistic timetable. You must also try and give more attention to your weaker subject. And remember that practice makes you perfect. So by getting past papers, it can help you a lot. It is a very important tool for revision. It allows you to check how your revision is going. It also assesses areas for improvement. It makes you feel more confident about what you already know. So I'd highly recommend doing as many past papers as you can. Don't limit yourself to just one or two. Do as many as you can. You can learn from the books. You can absorb in all that information. You can sort off all the work. But you will only learn how to apply the knowledge that you have absorbed in only by doing past papers. So you can even check how the marks are located. That helps a lot. Maybe set a time limit for yourself also and see if you can finish that past paper within the time limit. All this really does help. And at the end, don't forget to focus on yourself. And especially, you know, when you get to the exam venue in the morning, you see other students, some of them are super stressed. So don't focus on what they are doing in the exam hall. You can't judge how well you are doing by looking at how other people are behaving. So if someone is stressed out, just try not to make contact with them, just for your own benefit. And again, move on. If you feel like you haven't done well in a paper, don't keep reliving it. when it's over. You did what you could. Try and focus on to the next one. And if you do go blank in an exam, just remember that it's okay. Maybe take a break for a minute or two. Take a deep breath and just focus on what you know. Answer the questions you know and you are more confident about. And leave the difficult ones for the last, for the end, towards the end. You can finish them when you have enough time or when you have time. I think if you follow all these steps, inshallah, you are good to go. You'll be fine.
I'm sure they will. It was very, very, very fascinating speaking to you this morning. I think you gave them a whole bag of encouragement that they can take in these exams that they will be writing. And Jazakallah so much for sharing so much of these steps with these listeners. I'm definite it will help them in many, many, many ways. It was Jazakallah for your time this morning.
Inshallah. No problem. It was very nice coming and talking. I really hope it does help.
I'm sure it will. Jazakallah so much.
Ameen.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Sister Nurul Huda Patel, a matriculant of last year, sharing advice for the listeners, for the matriculants especially, those that will be writing the exams within the next few days. There were some very, very important points that she mentioned towards the end. She spoke about the importance of having a study guide, and I think she stressed on the word a realistic study guide, something that you can work on. It doesn't make sense that you put a whole lot of things in that study guide that you know you're never going to be able to follow, you're never going to be able to achieve, because then what is the purpose? If you can't work on that study guide, what's the use then having a study guide? So there was a lot of other things that she mentioned as well for the matriculants, you know, being positive, trying your best, giving yourself a break from time to time, taking things easy, taking things within your stride. Obviously, she also spoke about sleep, the importance of sleep, the importance of eating well, all these things. So it brings it down to there's got to be a very, very important balance that the matriculant is able to bring in. It can't be only that you're sleeping, you tell yourself that, you know, I need to be fresh and I need to be awake for my exam, so I'm going to sleep the whole day. That is not going to help you. But then you can't be studying the entire day, the entire night, and you're not getting enough sleep, you're not getting sufficient sleep, you're not eating enough, and that is going to take a toll on your health. And then come to the exam, you're going to be sitting there, you studied so much, but your brain is too clogged up. You're not going to be able to be very positive, and you're not going to write to your best in that exam. So it's very important that we maintain the balance. And obviously she did also speak about the importance of turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah for help, you know, making sure that it's not only now for us as Muslims, we are regular with our salah, especially the five daily salah, we are regular with it throughout our lives, but especially now in this period, to try and encourage and to try and increase in that. Yes, there is very, very, the time might be limited, and you know, there's a lot of studying that we need to do, but we have to take, when it comes to the time of salah, we have to break our studies, our study groups, and whatever we're doing in that study pattern that we spoke of, the study guide that we have, there should already be in there, the times of salah should already have been made in there, that the time that we're going to take off to perform our salah. If we can, try and engage in nafil salah, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe on a daily basis, reading a little bit of Quran, making a little bit of dhikr, that will definitely help us. There can be nothing better than turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of it is important to study hard, to pay attention to your work, to turn to Allah, and from the family side to try and assist the matriculant that is living with you in whichever way possible. Alhamdulillah, it was a very interesting discussion that we had this morning. And from our side, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for all the matriculants out there, as well as the other learners. They will also be starting their exams probably later in November. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for one and all. Grant our children beneficial knowledge, knowledge that will benefit them in this world, as well as be a means of benefit for them in the akhirah. With that, we conclude today's discussion. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.